الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. All praises due to Allah. We laud Him and in Him we seek help and forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide them. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His abd and His rasul. O you who believe, fear Allah with just fear, and do not die except as Muslims. O human beings, fear Lord who created you from one soul, and from that one soul is mate. And from the two of them, countless men and women spread abroad in multitudes. Remember the wombs that bore you. Keep the relations of ties of family among you. For surely Allah is the raqib or watch over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. Allah will repair your deeds for you and forgive you of all of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, they have achieved the greatest of all successes in this life and the next. As to what proceeds, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And the best guidance is the guidance and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. And the worst of all affairs in this lovely deen of ours are innovations. For surely every innovation is a going astray, and every astray is in the hellfire. We'd like to continue, brothers and sisters, inshallah, with this important subject, this essential, this mandatory subject of al-khushu' fi salah, of khushu' or humility and the consciousness of Allah in the salah. We mentioned in the weeks that have passed that as a part of the khushu' is al-isti'dad lis-salah wa tahayyu' laha, being prepared for the salah by putting on the proper clothing and by going to the masjid with sobriety and tranquility. And not sitting with your fingers like this, with your fingers interlaced, because shaitan is in your fingers when you're waiting for the salah and you do this. And by reciting that which the mu'adhin recites when he recites what he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, to the end of the dua, and then making the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me. And also while we're in the salah, that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever we hear of mercy and of the Jannah and the felicities in the Jannah. And that when we hear of something that we should seek refuge with Allah from, we should seek refuge with Allah from those things. And that any time, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Hudhayfa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحٌ وَفِيهَا تَسْبِيحٌ سَبَّحَ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he came by any ayah that had tasbih in it, he would say Subhanallah or something like that. And we also learned last week that we should try to learn the meaning of the Quran, which necessitates learning the Arabic language, so that we'll be aware of what we're saying. Today we'd like to continue, inshallah, with some of those things that will produce khushu' in our salah. And as we mentioned last week, khushu' is the first thing that will be removed from this ummah, to the point where you hardly see anybody who is khashi', who has khushu'. Brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the things that will help produce khushu' in the salah is placing the right hand on the left on the chest. Placing the right hand on the left on the chest, not on the navel or below the navel or on the stomach. For there are no authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
nor the Sahaba, nor the Tabi'un, nor the Itba'u Tabi'een, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hands anywhere, or they put their hands anywhere, but their right on their left, on their chest. And this helps bring khushu', as Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani al-Hafiz, the one who produced the best, the most illustrious commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, he said, al-hikmatu fi hadhihi al-hay'a sifatu sa'il al-zalil huwa amna'u ila al-abath wa aqrabu ila al-khushu'. Amna'u min al-abath wa aqrabu ila al-khushu'. Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani said, the wisdom of placing the right hand on the left on the chest is that it prevents the person from being languid and neglectful and unmindful in their prayers, and it helps produce, it's closer to khushu'. Placing the right hand on the left was a commandment from Allah Ta'ala on the prophets Adam, Nuh, Idris, Zulkifl, Sulaiman, Ismail, Ibrahim, all the way up to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single one of the prophets, 124,000 prophets, 313 messengers, as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that there are 124,000 prophets, 313 messengers. Every single one of them put their right hand on the back of their left hand and placed it on their chest. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مَعَشَ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ أُمِرْنَا أَنْ نَضَعَ أَيْمَانَنَا عَلَى شِمَارِنَا فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That we are party of prophets. We have been commanded to place our right hand on our left. And another narration, on our chest in the salah. And some of the people, unfortunately, in their ignorance and their taqleed, in their ignorance and their blind following of their madhabs, and not following the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they pray with their hands next to their sides, saying that they're imitating Imam Malik. When Imam Malik wrote in his Muwatta under the chapter, putting your right hand on your left, he wrote this in his Muwatta. And in the time of Imam Malik in the city of Medina, the Wali, the governor of Al-Medina, Ja'far ibn Sulaiman, he took Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahmatullahi alayhi, and he whipped him with a whip, and he stretched out his hands until he dislocated his shoulders, and he was not able to put his right hand on his left because of that dislocation. Even though in his Muwatta, the famous hadith book called Muwatta, the hadith is there recorded by Imam Malik, and Imam Malik is also recorded to have said, oh, how I wish I could obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by placing the right hand on the left on the chest. But he was unable to. So some of the ignorant Muslims today, they still continue to follow Imam Malik by putting their hands to their sides when they have no verse, no ayah, no hadith, no example from any of the people of the past and the three illustrious generations of which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best people is my generation, then those who come after them, and then those who come after them. So if we want to produce khushu' in our salah, as Ibn al-Hajr said, the wisdom of this is that it makes the person stay away from being neglectful, being haphazard in his salah, and it brings them closer to khushu', then you are ordered to put your right hand on your left and place it on your chest. This will help make khushu'. And when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahl al-Sunnah in his time, he was asked about placing the right hand on the left on the chest, he told the people that this is the way that the person has humility. This is huwa dhillun bayna yadi al-aziz. This is humility in front of Al-Aziz. This is humility in front of Al-Aziz. So if we want to help produce khushu', we don't stand with our hands disobeying the Messenger of Allah's actions, with our hands to our sides. And we don't place our hands below our navels. And we don't place our hands on our stomachs, But we place our hands on our chest, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the Anbiya wa Rusul, the rest of the Prophets and the Anbiya were ordered to do. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the ways to produce khushur is to pray towards a sutra. It is not permissible to pray in the middle of the floor in the masjid or outside of the masjid without having the proper type of sutra in front of you. A wall, a chair, a pillar, a door, or something of this size or close to this size, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let none of you pray except to a sutra. إذا صلى أحدكم فليصل إلى سترة وليبنو منها. Let none of you pray unless he prays for the sutra and gets as close as he can to it. And the size of that sutra is not an ink pen. The size of that sutra is not a kufi. The size of that sutra is not drawing a line in the ground like the unauthentic hadith states. This hadith is unauthentic according to the scholars of hadith. It is not taking a cigarette lighter, which you shouldn't be having anyway, and placing it in front of you. But it is rather using that thing which is the size of the back of the camel, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or something larger than that. And it is permissible to use a human being placed in front of you. If you're sure that that person is not going to move, then it is better for you to use that human being or something of that size to place in front of you, because it is not permissible to pray without a sutra. How does this produce khushur? This produces khushur because if a person walks in front of you, they will break your salah. If an animal walks in front of you like a black dog, it will break your salah. If a woman walks in front of you who has her menses, meaning she is at the age of menses, then it will break your salah. And shaitan is always ready to break the salah of a person who didn't follow the order of Allah and the order of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, by praying in the middle of the floor anywhere. You deserve shaitan walking in front of you when you disobeyed Allah and His Messenger. And how can you gain khushur when you just stand in the middle of the floor and you just let people walk in front of you? And one of the biggest mistakes that you see the worshipers committing is that when they go to the Kaaba, they take these fatwas from these ignorant people who say when you're at the Kaaba, it's okay to let somebody walk in front of you. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ أَحَدُكُمْ يُصَلِّي فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى سُطْرَةٍ وَلْيَدْنُوا مِنْهَا فَلَا يَدْعَى أَحَدًا يَمُرُّ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وليضرأه ما استطاع فإن أبى فليقاتله فإن معه القرين. رواه مسلم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, when any of you prays, then he should not pray unless he has a sutra, and he should get close to it. And don't let anyone walk in front of you. And if they try to walk in front of you, prevent them. And if they continue, fight them, because surely they have with them a shaitan. And in another narration he said, فَإِنَّهُ شَيْطَان. That person themselves is a shaitan. So if you want to have khushur in your salah, brothers, if you want to have khushur in your salah, sisters, you cannot stand in the middle of a floor, in the masjid, or in your house, even in the comfort and the privacy of your house, without a sutra. For surely you will be in disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will not be producing khushur. You will not be producing khushur. Another way that we can gain khushur, brothers and sisters, in our salah, is that when we recite the Quran with a beautiful voice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الصَّوْتَ الْحَسَنَ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حَسَنًا. رواه أبو داود. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, and these hadiths are authentic, alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beautify your voices with the Quran, for surely the beautified voice increases the Quran in beauty. But we need to make a note that the beautification of the voice is not the way you think. The beautification of the voice, tahsin al-sawt, is not what many people think. The beautification of the voice is not complete. It is not complete. It is not like these reciters that we find in Egypt, and we find in Syria, and we find in Pakistan, and we find in Arabia, and all over the Muslim world, and even in America, reciting the Quran and damaging the Quran and destroying the Quran by making their voices have a maddah longer than the maddah of the Quran, or making the aleph and the ya and the wow longer than it's supposed to be, or even changing the letters and the makharij and where the letters should be pronounced, and trying to make the people cry. But rather, the beautification of the voice is the fear that the person has in themselves. And you can feel the fear of Allah in that person when they are reciting, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, inna min ahsanin nasa sawtan bil Quran alladhi idha sami'tumuhu yaqra hasibtumuhu yakhsha Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said that surely the people who have the most beautified voices while they're reciting the Quran is the one that when you hear him reciting, he recites and you think that he fears Allah. You think that he fears Allah. It is not the sound or the beautification of his voice that the hadith means, but rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant the person has the feeling, the fear. And you feel that that person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the way that they're reciting, stopping at the verses in the proper places, stopping at the words in the proper places, putting emphasis on those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet put emphasis on, and those Sahaba who came after him. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, move up, brothers, please. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته ومن والاه وبعد. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the ways that we can produce khushu' in our salah is knowing the reality of who we're talking to, and knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said in the hadith transmitted by Imam Muslim and others, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. When a person is praying, when any of you is praying, then he is having an intimate conversation with his Lord. أَوْ كَمَا قَالَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And another narration, he said, فَلْيَنْظُرْ كَيْفَ يُنَاجِيهِ. So let him look at the one who he's having the conversation with. You should realize, brothers and sisters in Islam, in your salah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer you. If you were talking to someone and they're standing in your face and they kept turning their face away from you and not paying attention or not answering you when you ask them, you would feel disrespected. You would feel that this person is not giving you your due respect. How much more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're not expecting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer you because of your neglect in what you're reciting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah azza wa jal said, قَسَمْتُ أَسْطَلَاتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَى. The Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah azza wa jal said in hadith Qudsi, that I have divided the salah, meaning I have divided al-fatiha. The word as-salah here means surah al-fatiha. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ بَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلَى. I have divided the prayer, meaning the al-fatiha surah, between myself and my slave. And whatever he asks for, he'll get it. Whatever he asks for, he'll get it. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the slave says الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his slave in the salah in al-fatiha, and there's no other surah, and Allah knows best, like this. There's no other surah, and Allah knows best, like this, that when the person recites something, Allah Azza wa Jal answers them. When my slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamidani Abdi. My slave has praised me. وإذا قال الرحمن الرحيم, and when my slave says, الرحمن الرحيم, Allah Ta'ala says, أثنى علي عبدي. My slave has praised me. فإذا قال مالك يوم الدين, when he says مالك يوم الدين, قال الله مجدني عبدي. My slave has magnified me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you, brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters, answers you. When you are mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you when you recite Al-Fatiha, and you are absolutely sure, and you should be, that Allah is going to answer you, this will help produce khushu' in your salah. This will help produce khushu' in your salah. And another way that we can produce khushu' in our salah, brothers and sisters, is to look at the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to look while we're in Qiyam. And that place is mawdu' al-sujood, the place of sajda. That we shouldn't be looking around, up in the air, or to the right, to the left. But rather, when we're in Qiyam, we should be looking at the place where we are going to make sajda. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى طأطأ رأسه ورمي ببصره إلى موضع السجود أو كما قالها رضي الله تعالى عنها. That when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make salah, he used to bend his head just slightly like this. He wouldn't have it straight up, nor would he have it all the way down like this, where his chin would taste touching his chest. But rather he'd go between the two positions, and he'd have his head just slightly down. And she said that he's to look at the place where he was going to make sajda. I swear by Allah, as I'm standing on this minbar, I've seen people looking at people when they come in the door. They're making salah, and when people walk in the door, they see them walking by, they're looking at them. I've seen people looking all up in the sky, which is a prohibition from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to look to the sky when you're in salah. People looking to the right and to the left, as we mentioned a few weeks ago. People even looking at their watches, taking pieces of paper out of their pockets and reading them, digging in their noses. How can a person consider themselves khashi'a? How can a person consider themselves having khushu'? Not obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you think that you are not disobeying Allah, when you disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you haven't read the Quran. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من أطاع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeys, من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeys the Rasul has obeyed Allah. Likewise, whoever disobeys the Rasul, they have disobeyed Allah. So to produce the khushu', brothers and sisters in Islam, you should look at the place that you're going to make the sajda, because you are a humble servant. You are a humble servant standing in front of the master of the day of judgment, the master of the day of requital, the master of the day of paying you back for that which you did or didn't do in the dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who, when we are praying, we look at the place of sajda while we're in qiyam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who don't follow Imam Malik, or don't follow the Shia, or don't follow the ignorant people, but we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by placing our right hands on our left, on our chest. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who, when we recite the Quran, we recite it with a beautiful voice, meaning we have huzn, meaning that we have fear, meaning that we think about what we're reciting. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are mindful about what we're saying when we recite Al-Fatiha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us what we ask for, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued by his statement that Allah said, وَإِذَا قَالَ
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. When my servant says إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says هذا بيني وبين عبدي, هذا بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the servant says إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is for me and my servant, this is for me and my servant. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us of those who have khushu' and are not robots in our salah. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us in the closest proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of resurrection. And one of the ways that we will gain proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his majlis is that we produce khushu' in our salah, because only those people, only those believers who have khushu' in their salah will have al-firdaus. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers will be successful, and then Allah says, those who have in their salah khushu'. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.